Number 29 of the 48 ways is Eino Machazik Tov La'atzmo. Eino, he does not, Machazik, hold, Tov is good, La'atzmo, to himself. You don't hold the good for yourself. So, what does that mean? That means that you don't pat yourself on the back and say, oh, what a good boy am I. Now, we all intuit that arrogance takes us out of life. It sends us aside, a little corner. We don't see the harm it really does us, but we know an arrogant man is alone. Another little focus is, don't pat yourself on the back and say, hey, I'm a great guy. A lesser form of arrogance and being proud is, don't be complacent. Don't think, I'm not so bad, you know. I'm okay, Mac, you're okay, you know. And there's one more aspect is, don't play one-upmanship. Share the wealth. Not materially, but share whatever you understand about living. Don't try to keep one-upmanship. Okay, so now, to focus in on the problem and the confusion, and what you're trying to accomplish is, did you ever read, I don't remember in the United States, but you've read in Spain or in Israel and in Europe and in England. You've heard in England in soccer matches that they rioted because an umpire made a call against my team. Yeah. And they went out in the field and some people were injured, badly injured. They poured out. There was a riot. The riot police had to come in. Yeah. What the heck is going on? What is it, your team? you got a little share of the profits? Yeah, but they stole a point from my team. It's his team. No. Now, in the United States, it goes a little different. If the Lakers won in Philadelphia, then it was a day of jubilation. We Philadelphians, we made it, you know? Tops. And then they rioted after the celebrations, you know? Right? Well, what's going on? What is it? You know who we Philadelphians are? We won the pennant. Or do you remember when you were a kid? You know, my team won the pennant, so we walked around strutting all day. Yeah? The Flyers were all Canadians that they hired. Yeah? Right? They're all Canadians, and we Philadelphians, we won the... Right? What goes on in us? What makes people that way? Okay, so how do we go about it? And we'll get to that one, yeah? But how do we go about it? To avoid arrogance and pride and complacency and insanity, yeah? Number one is, never be proud of an accomplishment, but do take pleasure. Can you think of something, an accomplishment, a tremendous accomplishment, you don't take any pride in it, but boy, you can have a lot of pleasure. Let's say that you win a lottery. Now you jump up and down. Boy, you got a lot of pleasure, right? But you don't say, boy, was I smart. I picked the right number. Yeah. I made an investment. I made 100,000% profit. Yeah, nobody would do that. Say, thank God. Or thank my lucky stars. You understand the concept of taking pleasure without taking pride. Makes sense. Yeah? I mean, the concept. You don't know why. I mean, I worked hard for something, so I can take pride too. With the lottery, what can I say? You know, that I went to the right counter, and I, yeah. All right, if you pick a lotto number, in New York they have these lotto, yeah, if you pick a lotto number, so you figure it out, which number, yeah. But even then, the guy won't take pride, yeah. Number two is that you've got to realize every human being is proud of something. And it's something we hug very closely to ourselves. If you have a five-better Kappa key, it sort of jangles, you know. Even if you don't wear it because you don't want to be ostentatious, but it's there. I made it, yeah? If you ever wrote a novel and you're a bestseller, it would be hard to imagine that we didn't hear about it while you were here. So take a moment and you think, what am I proud of? Number three is to help you focus on your syndrome and to also show you the silliness, the stupidity of taking pride. Yeah? So let's examine some categories from the stupid to where you are and you're taking pride. It helps you focus.
So let's take a category. Natural talents. Now, you can imagine that if somebody says, hey, you want to see something? You want to see me talk? Say something. I'll repeat it. He's crazy, yeah? But tell me, friends, did you ever find a guy, were you ever sick with a miserable flu or a miserable cold, and the guy in the dormitory says, me? I never get sick. Huh? You feel like strangling him? Thank God, you got a good constitution. Thank God. Well, tell me, did you ever have a situation where, you know, you had indigestion, you ate something, you had indigestion, and the guy points to his stomach and says, cast iron. I can eat anything. You don't see you like to strangle, right? But now, what if a man is tremendously strong? He's an axe. He can pick up your car. One hand. Yeah? We're impressed. And he's liable to be a little proud of the fact that he is just naturally an ox. Do you understand that? Now, how about a guy who happens to be a genius? The mind is sharp, like that. Yeah? You see, he can be arrogant. And what is it? He's an ox with his head. That's all. I mean, it's a gift. But you realize that when a man is a genius, then he's liable to be arrogant. Looking at all these stupid mortals. Now, you have a natural talent. You're good at basketball. You got a good eye. Is that something you're proud of? You're a good tennis player. You got a good mind. Excellent memory. Huh? Watch out. Cast iron stomach. Okay, B of this is accomplishments. So a person says, look, accomplishments, you know, that's a talent, really, if you have a brilliant head, but accomplishment, I did it. Yeah. I worked at it. I got a five-better cap, a key, I'm a millionaire, you know. I did it. So the sublimely ridiculous is a fellow says, go ahead, what would you like me to write down for you? Say a word, I'll write. I can read. Go ahead, you got something to read? Yeah. I'll read it for you. Yeah. You say the poor schmo. Right? Do you realize how hard you work to learn how to read and write? Do you realize that there's an awful lot of human beings in this world that don't know how to read and write? But at the same time, you say, thank God you were born in the United States. Your parents banged you on the head. you couldn't face the ridicule, so you learned how to read and write. Right? But you did the work. But thank God you did the work. Who'd you do it for? If somebody will tell you, you want to see my elementary school PS15. Yeah, I'll show you my diploma. I finished 8th grade. You look at him, the poor guy, wow, a little backwards. Yeah? Can you believe me that there was a time in the United States of America that people hung their high school diploma in their living room? Can you imagine that? Now, how many of you are proud of the fact that you got a BA? Yeah. Man, all right, there's a little self-respect, you know, but you're not going to say, you know, I graduated college. Now tell me, what if you got a PhD? Mm. Remember, you call me doctor now. Yeah. Could be in physical ed, but doctor. Right? Yeah, is it really different? You got a BA, you got a PhD? Well, you had to work a little harder, so you're more fortunate. Do you understand? You had the time, you had the mind. Now, you got yourself a PhD. Big deal. Now, how about if a fella is a millionaire, made his own business? Oh. Right? If he's a professor at university, if he's a Nobel Prize winner, if he's a best-selling novelist, what is it? You achieved for what? You got your education, you worked hard, and thank God, you had some breaks. The critics didn't pan you. You got to publish it. But they're arrogant. Can't talk to them anymore. So put your syndrome. Where are you? Are you just a cut above elementary school education, high school? No, I'm saying college level pride, PhD pride, or Pulitzer Prize pride. You know? But it's also, you should be thankful you made it, not proud. C of this is wisdom. Now, you people aren't that proud of wisdom knowingly, but you're proud of wisdom. So wisdom is like, did you ever hear, and people do, are proud of the fact, I know what I like. Did you ever hear that sense of pride? This, I'm not one of you mixed up people. I know what I like. Yeah. What about someone who knows what is love? Now over here we give a definition of love or happiness. Do you see that somebody can take pride? Like, you know, people are walking around looking for happiness. They don't even have a definition. Yeah? Now when people realize I know what is good, they can have arrogance. You have met them in the artists. Did you ever meet a bohemian colony of artists? They say gray flannel, no one. You know, going nowhere. You don't know what pleasure is. You don't know what life is about. I remember in my days, yeah, you met an artist, a musician, somebody who was into the arty art. Yeah. Then he looked at the rest of the world as zombies, as tin men, robots. And he was arrogant. Not because of an accomplishment. He wasn't getting, but just wisdom and appreciation is something more to living. That people aren't into. And does this ring a bell? Does anybody attest to this? Now, this can be people who are into S. They have an illusion. Yeah? I got it. Took me 48 hours of abuse, but I got it. Yeah? And you guys don't have it. Yeah? And if you finally become a wise man, watch out. Don't be proud. Be thankful. Take pleasure, not profit. The last and the worst is the good man, the man who fulfills his obligations. You see, a man who's got material accomplishments, a rich man, billionaire, is certainly going to be arrogant. But his arrogance really extends to murder. Sometimes a guy gets in his way, so he'll pay off someone to bump him off. Yeah? But the guy who thinks he's good can kill 2 million of his compatriots to save them from the evils of money. Cambodia. That's arrogance. You get it? They don't count. The good man can rub you out without blinking an eye. Watch out for the good man. If you think you're good, boy, arrogance there. That's a bad one. The guy with the natural talents, when he's arrogant, you know, he's a tennis star, so he might punch you in the nose because who are you? What nerve you got asking me for my autograph? But it's unlikely that he's going to kill you. Yeah? So let's take a look at the absolutely ridiculous. Yeah. And a fellow walks into your apartment, you know, he says, boy, do you know what a struggle I had today? And I conquered my inclination. I did the right thing. But boy, what a struggle it was. You say, yeah, what happened? What happened? See, I had this urge. I was shaving, and I had this urge to cut off my nose, and my hand was right there. And I held on to my hand, and I struggled, and I got the razor away. Say, boyfriend, you had a close shave. Boy, you better be thankful. Yeah? I said, but do you realize how much willpower it took? Yeah? But you're crazy. Why would you want to cut off your nose? Yeah, but I wanted to. And I didn't. Wacky. Nuts. Yeah? Well, tell me, did you ever hear somebody pride himself, I brush my teeth every morning? You never came across that guy? Yeah? Or I never miss a breakfast? How about the guy who says, I don't smoke? See that arrogance? You know, I don't smoke. I'm a good man. I don't go in for that stuff. Huh? Thank God, friend. What do you want, you know? Well, it takes willpower not to get the habit, yeah? If I broke the habit, what a strong man am I. Yeah? Is that right? You see, it's a little ridiculous, isn't it? All right, now what about a guy who takes pride? I never took a cent that never belonged to me. You guys don't know that syndrome. You know, when I was a kid, that was a syndrome. I'm a good man, boy. I never took a penny that didn't belong to me. You don't know that, because today, so what? So you take something that doesn't belong to you. Right? But today the syndrome is, I'm a good man. I never hurt anyone in my life. Never hurt somebody, really proud of that. He never hurt anyone, so he's a good man. And we can only wish him that it were true, that he never hurt his parents, he never hurt his friends, you know. Right? It would really be an accomplishment. But what do you mean you didn't hurt someone, so you're a good man? Now, how about a guy already who says, I'm fighting for the survival of humanity, for social justice? Ooh. You guys are all out for yourselves, and I am a fighter for humanity, for truth, for social justice. Well, it's just the same thing. So what did you do? You're doing what you want to do, what you feel is right, what you feel is good. Isn't it the same? Number four is, again, take pleasure, but not pride. Now, what's the difference between taking pleasure in all these things and not pride? Yeah? Take pleasure in having eyes, but not pride in having eyes. You see a blind man. You take pleasure, thank God I can see, yeah? But not pride. What does pride mean? I'm better than him. Now, when a guy is blind and you know you can see, you don't feel you're better than him. What do you feel? I'm more fortunate than him. Yeah? See, if you can read and write, you're more fortunate. You're better. If you have a cast iron stomach, you're more fortunate. Yeah? If you're brilliant, you're more fortunate. If you got your PhD, you're more fortunate. If you are fighting for humanity, instead of sitting back and watching the bomb come, you're more fortunate. Look at it that way. Better than the next guy? He's confused. Poor guy. Now, you're the greatest advertising man in the business, yeah? So take pleasure. Saying that I'm a better human being than all these other poor schmoes who can't write an ad that sells is crazy. Take pleasure. I got the talent. I put it together. I have the capacity for disciplined hard work. And thank God, you know, I'm rolling. I'm getting rewards, you know. You're healthy. Take pleasure. You're brilliant. Take pleasure. But don't think you're any better because you're tall, healthy, strong, or good. Okay, so number five is that in order to move you, to get you to do something, is beware the arrogant man. You know, every one of us knows somebody who's arrogant. Either the football star back in high school, or a friend who made it, or a guy who just thinks that he's the God's gift to humanity, or God's gift to the women, you know, arrogant. We all have an acquaintance, and we know that that guy is isolated. He's alone. He doesn't really have friends. But B of this is realize that there's a dangerous thing to it. You can't hear other people. You can't understand other people. You have contempt for them. The utmost danger is to be one of the rulers in Cambodia that wants to be good and destroyed millions of human beings because you want to get rid of the evil thing called money. Yeah? You saw that. I mean, we know that happened in our generation. So that means that you can be destructive, evil. Watch out that you don't hurt your wife, your kids, and your friends. You can destroy them. You've seen it happen. Hard-driving parents who've been very successful, and their kids are like, they feel that they're nothing, and they can be vegetables. They don't want to hurt their kids, but they look at their kids. What's the matter with you? Why aren't you getting moving? Bah, 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 bah. And the kid's going, ah. They don't know. They want to help their kid, right? They don't realize. My kid is a human being. He's a human being. Treat him with care, respect. Watch out you don't do it to your wife, your friends, etc. Yeah. Pleasure. Thank God I have a sense of responsibility. And fortune. I got into this idea that you do a job, do it well, and it's a beautiful thing to do it well. I'm a good man. I don't take people's money for junk. Huh? Fulfill my obligation. I give people pleasure instead of ripping them off and having them aggravate themselves the rest of their lives every time they see my my vase. Yeah? Okay, number six is that now take it a step further and see that all human beings, we're all proud of our particular society. I remember when I was a kid in the Lower East Side and those days there weren't that many tourists and travelers, etc., right? And America was bustling. I remember a greenhorn. He can't talk English. Can you imagine that? He can have 3 PhDs. He can be fluent in 5 different languages when all I knew was English. But he's a greenhorn. He doesn't know how to, speak English. What a dumb foreigner. Today, we travel abroad, so we see a lot of people. We know we don't know French, we don't know Russian, you know, and sometimes we're very impressed because we don't know, and we say, boy, in France, even the dogs understand French. So be of this is, realize that you're proud in your society's values. And I've had young men stare me in the face after we're talking 10 minutes and say, Rabbi, you believe in revelation and God speaking to man? And of course, I'm stuck. You know, I'm a rabbi. I believe in that. You know, I think that it's a fact, yeah? And they say, well, I'll be darned. I could have sworn that you were speaking intelligently. Because, of course, no intelligent people would believe in miracles, right? Did you ever hear that one? Well, what a crackpot. He really thinks he's right. He thinks he's right. There's an absolute truth. And you can know it. Huh? The poor Shmo. Huh? Because, of course, we know better. So watch out. You have arrogance in your own society. So number 7 is that realize that unless you have investigated the facts and tested them and drawn your own conclusions, then your opinions on any particular subject without any evidence are just a product of your society. It has nothing to do with you. Remember, if we were born in Red China, we'd all be good Chinese communists. If we were all born in a good Catholic family in Sicily, and were brought up in a peasant village without much exposure to modern values, we'd all be good Catholics. And if we were born in voodoo land, we'd all be voodoo worshippers. Is that right? So you've got to understand that unless you investigate, unless you see the facts and you see for yourself, you're accepting your society's opinion. Dumb people who don't understand that communism is the only way. Dumb people who don't understand that there's a voodoo. So whatever you're, watch out, don't be arrogant in your society's value. Number 8 is, what should you do about it? Trace your convictions. First write them down. What do you believe in? Then trace them. Where does it come from? And then reconsider, define them. You see, because a lot of your convictions are contradictions, like I've pointed out many a time. The Jewish people is the people who taught Western civilization that we are all brothers. You should love humanity. Yeah. So it came through the society. And on the other hand, you picked up another concept. Would you say that I can obligate you to love someone? Your society says no. So you're buying two different propositions. Now, how do you know you can't obligate someone to love? You know, check that out. Where does that come from? You know that you can't obligate someone to love? Well, I don't feel that. I like the idea. That's no conviction. Consider it. But it's a contradiction. If you say you should, then you mean it's an obligation. Otherwise, don't say you should. It's a happening. If love is a happening, then you wait around until you fall in love with humanity. And it doesn't happen. All right, I'm just showing you that you have to take your convictions and track them down. Otherwise, you're going to buy your societies, and in as much as you're going to buy your societies, you're going to think people who don't feel this way, because society is powerful, are dumb, stupid, there's something wrong with them, they're inferior products. Number 9 is, I appreciate that your need is to be a good man. Your society gives you the wherewithal to be a good man. So for instance, in America we think we're good men because we are democratic. In Russia, we think we're good men because we're communists. In Israel, we think we're good men because we reached Entebbe. And in Philadelphia, they think we're good men because the Flyers won. We have this need. We have to be good. And we will take society's view to give us a security blanket, I'm okay. Every human being has that. So we'll accept the size, and then we'll have that feeling of being good. and we'll have the feeling of being better than other people, because that fortifies our feeling of being good. So B of this is to realize that in the United States, we have a sneaking suspicion, bottom, underneath it all, that we who are born in the United States are the culmination of evolution. We've evolved into the highest state of human consciousness. And the proof of the pudding is we've eliminated capital punishment. Well, the proof of the pudding is that we legalized abortion. We're not superstitious. Give the woman the right to her own body. So the funny part of it is, when you realize this, is realize that so do the Russians. And so do the Chinese. And the Cambodians do too. Watch out for that piece of arrogance. So number 10 is, man can be arrogant because he's the greatest tennis player on the block, but not if he's been at Wimbledon. Yeah. So the best medicine of all to keep you from arrogance is realize you want ultimate greatness. If you can realize that, you're free. You want to understand the universe. You want to understand the atom. You want to save humanity. You want to be perfect. When you get up at bat, you want to knock the ball right out of the park. You want every shot to sink. That's the way the Almighty created us. We're ultimately ambitious. We want the ultimate greatness. If you acknowledge that, you see, then you'll realize whatever you've done, friend, you haven't even begun. You see, a man can be very arrogant because he took a piece of property and he's paid $1,000 and he made some improvements on the lot. And he was able to sell it for $25,000. Oh boy, he's going to boast about it until he died. Yeah? 2,500% profit because he had a couple of gimmicks and he proved. Man, he'll tell you the story. But you can shut him up. You know what you do? The guy who bought it from him for $25,000, it does a few other improvements, another $1,000 of improvements, and sells it for $1,000,000. Right? Doesn't say a word about that property. Yeah? So if you realize what greatness really is, what you can do with yourself, whatever you've done, small potatoes. B of this is, in Judaism we say that, look, the Almighty wants to help us. The Almighty is helping us all the time. Yeah? If your father was a billionaire, would you worry about how you're going to make a living? No. Well, what's the problem? In Judaism we say the whole problem is we won't accept that he can do anything. We don't count on it. And in Judaism, we say, you know why we won't accept people who believe in God? They don't want to give up their pride in what they did accomplish. They want to say, what I've done until now, my own 10 fingers, God didn't help me. Yeah. So then if I accept that it's all a gift from God, I want him to give me gifts, then I'll have to acknowledge that in the past he gave me gifts too. Yeah? That no. My eyes are my own. My feet on my own. I did it all myself. Okay, most important of all, in wisdom, don't be complacent. Don't say, I know you can't define love. I know you can't teach me how to be happy. I know. You know, that's the ultimate in arrogance. Yeah? What do you mean you know that you can't? Let me give you a definition. Tell me whether it's good. But you realize that this is something that we do. Yeah? And we're so irrational about it that a guy who comes in and says, you can't define love, you can't obligate me. The same man who says you can't define love, you can't obligate me to love humanity, you can't do that, yeah? And you sit with him and you fight with him and you persuade him, you show him a definition of love. He says, yes, it's true. You show him. You do this and this. You focus on the virtue and you appreciate. Right? I will love. And you take him through the whole steps. And you know what he'll say to you? You didn't teach me nothing. I knew it all along. Because you've got to realize that we can't teach you anything that you don't know. We can only brainwash you into knowing what you don't know. Teaching means I get you in touch with what you know. So if you really do a good job at teaching somebody something, they'll say, this is simple. Nothing to it. I knew it all along. But don't do that. That's arrogance. You see, if somebody wastes his time trying to teach you, acknowledge. He's making an effort. Acknowledge his effort. Acknowledge whether you learned something. But it's pride that keeps us from it. And that keeps you from learning anything new. Just one more thing. That's for living. You see, you've all heard that religion is the opiate of the people. Have you ever heard that statement? Yeah? Come on, right? Judaism, we say, secularism is the opiate of the people. Now, Marx was talking about a different religion. Turn the other cheek. Resist not evil. Rend unto Caesar's. My kingdom is not of this earth. Kingdom of heaven. Yeah? So he's saying, dream, friends, the world to come. This world, don't do it. Yeah? But in Judaism, we say, resist evil. Hit the guy before he hits you. Not turn the other cheek. Yeah? Fight for everyone. Fight Caesar. Yeah? And you better have pleasure in this world or you're not going to get to the world to come. So it's an altogether different religion. He didn't know Judaism. He never would have talked that way. But in Judaism, we turn the tables and we say secularism is the opiate of the people. Why? Because if you ask a guy, you say, tell me, is there a third world war coming? What are the chances of a third world war? Very intelligent people, unless they're really hiding their heads, will tell you the chances are very good. Some will say 100% in the next 20 years. Yeah? Some will say 50%. I don't believe that anybody will say that the chances are less than 20. There are some people who say, look, it's too crazy. Yeah? But if you focus their attention, you say, listen, if I say I'm going to split your head with a hatchet, say that's crazy. I mean, you're talking nonsense. Yeah? But if a guy is waving a hatchet at you and he says, I'm going to split your head with this hatchet, you take off, you know, because there's a logic to insanity. And everybody knows that all these atom bombs is insane, yeah? And there's a logic to insanity. You take them seriously. Do you understand that? So everybody will agree, yeah, okay. What are you going to do about it? Me? What should I do about it? Poor Michael. Well, isn't it a terrible thing? Oh, yeah, it's terrible. So what are you going to do about it? What can I do about it? What's the matter with you? So you go to sleep. You get your job with retirement benefits in 20 years, and you figure, I hope I'll be able to be at my pool when the bomb falls. Huh? Is there a human being around who can say, if the Almighty Creator of this universe would help me, I wouldn't be able to figure out, I wouldn't be able to implement a solution to this atomic bomb? So in Judaism we say, that's a goal. You want to be great. Remember, God is waiting for you. I'll just tell you a little story. You see, one time I studied in a yeshiva in Baltimore. And in the summer, I used to take, there was vacation time, I used to take time out to do some work and make some money. And I come back to yeshiva for the next year. So one time I came into the yeshiva, the Rosh Yeshiva, the one who was heading up the dean, you know. He says, Noach, he says, how, what do you say this year you're going to accomplish? How are you going to do this year? So I said, if the Almighty desires, I intend to accomplish great things. Yeah? So my Rosh Yeshiva said to me, he said, Noach, he said, the Almighty wants. Do you want? We know what God wants. He wants greatness for us. He wants ultimate pleasure for us. Do you want? How do you gauge whether you want? You willing to accept it from him? You willing to get rid of illusions? You willing to get rid of pride? Do you want? Okay, now why do we need this? So why do we need this? There's an awful lot of reasons that you need this, otherwise you're not really living. And one of them is that a fat cat can't run. You ever hear that one? So if you're patting yourself on the back, yeah, if you say, oh, how good am I, you're a fat cat. You're not going to make an effort. If I have pleasure in what I've come, I figure, what other pleasures are there? You know, how much more pleasure can I have? Pleasure, there's no end to pleasure. Number two is that, look, when you're defending ideas, you're defending ideas because it's yours. If somebody else was an atheist or didn't believe in God or said you can't prove something and you were reporting it, yeah? And I tell you, that's ridiculous. Of course you can prove. You show the evidence. He wouldn't defend him. He'd say, yeah, the poor dumbbell, right? But when I attack an idea that you possess, yeah, and I try to do it very diplomatically, you're attacking my life, my pride. If you know ideas are just gifts, there's a flaw, get rid of it and get the new gift. Right? You're not attached to ideas. Attached to the pleasure of truth, of reality. But when it becomes a pride, I'm attacking you, not the idea. And you can't hear. There's one more, but there's a lot of reasons. You see, if you think you've made it, if you take pride, yeah, then you're limited by what you think you can make. If you realize it's a gift, then you are fascinated by how many gifts can be received. Makes sense. All right, as far as an assignment, some event, put down your convictions and put down 20 convictions. Yeah? Track it down. Where does it come from? Is it your own? Is it your, where does it come from? And then ask yourself, now what is my perception? Is this solid? Is this true? Do you really think that abortion is not murder because they passed a law in Congress? Until then it was murder, right? The same doctor that wouldn't be caught dead doing an abortion, right? As soon as the law is passed in Congress. Do you see that? Congress is already the arbiter of morality. But put down 10 of your convictions, track it down, and ask yourself, what do I perceive? For yourself, not from someone else.
Okay, thank you very much.